Justin Akery, Matt Stell, Barrett Baber just dropped this pick. And that is not a euphemism. Matty T is in the house, and we are going to continue with our year in review because I enjoy it and there's a lot of work that goes into it. Because otherwise, if you don't know your history, you're destined to repeat it. And frankly, there's a lot of crap that happened last year that I don't want any part of.
Let the past be the past.
Nevers again.
Bury it.
Got a text from the Pigskin. Tell Stell not to sweat it. After all, not everyone like Jesus. You know what? Fair point.
Yeah.
Matt Stell has finally made it. You, Christina LaCure, Chris Kane. You guys all have now taken a little bit of abuse. I got to be honest. Phil Elson has not taken one negative word. Even the Pigskin's been beaten up before.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to poke at dudes of the cloth myself. I don't need any more. I don't need any more questions that need to be answered when I visit with St. Peter. If he's in fact actually standing at the pearly gates trying to quiz people, and if he
like they're going to be like vetting you as you come in. Now on January 2nd, 2014, I see here that you made some jokes at one Pigskin preacher's expense. Can you account for that?
Mm-hmm. I don't need that. What I need you to do, Barrett, is quit doing these Q&A things in song. I need you to do me like a 3-minute song telling St. Peter why I'm all right and I should get in.
Justin, why they should let him in.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, Ronald I need you McDonald to lie for 3 minutes. On.
Just name all the charity golf things you do, and that's got to be a bunch of stuff.
And then they would quickly point out, now, wait a minute, they feed you, right? Yeah. And they give you like a gift, and then you play golf, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, and I can't really count that to the positive, but that's cool. What did you do where you didn't get anything at all? Where was that?
Value added. Come on now, boss.
A lot of talk about head injuries this last year, and then you know what we got this year? A lot of leg injuries. They did. I think, cut down a little bit. We'll have to see what the actual concussion count is. I'm assuming the NFL is now keeping an official league tally. We talked to Captain Crash
Ding!
This year,
every
which
time
was
one
fun.
Ding!
Cliff Harris joined us a couple of times during the season. We also got his son as an added bonus, Matt Harris, on a regular occasion during the football season. We got defensive with him during the football season.
I've got a clip from him later on.
Okay, good. Yeah, Matt Harris had some good moments. Yeah.
He got worked up a couple times.
Yeah, he could be an A, motivational speaker, or B, like a regular contributor.
He's a good dude. I like that dude.
Yeah.
He knows a lot.
Well, he comes from good stock, without a doubt. And we talked to Cliff about the differences in the old school and the new school when it comes to head injuries.
I mean, obviously there wasn't. At all, really. I mean, the concussion, the thing was, I mean, you take young guys. I mean, these guys, people forget, these guys were 21 to 31 years old that play in the NFL. And you want to play. You want to be out there. And you're not thinking about, you know, when you'll never make it to 50 or 60. Are you kidding? They don't care. So you don't really think about it. And they didn't. And, of course, I think that's one of the big questions that they have is should the NFL protect the players more and said, hey, you need to stay out or you need to stay out or hang, because the player, if he wants to play, I mean, has made the team, isn't it, is going to be a guy that's going to be compelled to play no matter what.
Right.
And you need to hold him back and restrain him. I mean, there was no talk. I mean, you put some ammonia capsules your nose. I mean, the same thing you guys probably did in high school or college or whatever. And, hey, you know, if you can tell them what day it is and how many fingers they have up and what defense they're playing.
Or get close. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Or even, there was a couple of times I didn't know what team we were playing. Oh. You know, are you sure?
Come along. Well, we come a little way, at least.
Did we mention that was from the Little Rock Touchdown Club?
That was the
second speaker of the year. Brett Bielema was first.
This was further back. This was when we were at the Paul Dunn Classic out of Mon Mel Country Club. He joined us a couple of times this year. And that, of course, is an event to raise money for ALS, so it was good for him to join us, and his family's been affected by ALS just like my family has been as well, so it was good for him to join us. Also talked at Mid-May to John Brady. John Brady is he's his own favorite for sure. Looking forward to hanging out with some ASU folks. I'm going to guess that he will not make it down to the GoDaddy Bowl, but we will be there starting tomorrow live from Mobile, Alabama. But I do enjoy Coach Brady, and of course one of the big stories this year was Brandon Reed, who left ASU to go to Georgia Tech, I believe, and then graduated, came back, and is going to play immediately at ASU. Now, I asked him.
What position?
He's a guard. And so the point was, you know, yeah, he's obviously a great addition to your team. And, he, you know, everybody talks about, he's coming home, and, you know, he wants to come finish his career at ASU. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. Is it because, you know, it's a good story or because the guy can ball and help your team? And the one thing I really like about Brady, he's always honest.
Well, of course not. I mean, you know, no. I mean, he can help me do what we want to do as a team, and I can certainly help him do what he wants. You know, there's no one-way street in any kind of relationship or anything. And, And had he averaged 3 points a game here, he wouldn't want to come back anyway.
So there you go. Honest. I said if the kid couldn't play, would you still take him back?
Nope.
Yep, that's exactly right.
We have kind of a similar situation going on here.
We do. It's a two-way street.
Yep.
I don't know what you're using me for, but when I figure it out, you're out of here.
It's a symbiotic relationship in some way.
We had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on earlier this year. We played that clip earlier in the week. Ali Reisman, gold medalist at the Olympics, joined us as well. We talked to her about the upcoming Olympics in Rio and whether or not she'd be competing.
Yes, I do. I'm going to begin training at the end of the summer, so I can definitely take the improvement from, you know, Dancing with the Stars and bring it to the gymnastics world with my floor routine. And, you know, my coaches are really excited. One of them is actually coming to the show on Monday, and they were telling me that they couldn't believe, you know, who I was, who they were even watching, because they were so impressed and surprised with how much I've improved.
Now, which one is this? Is this the one that was visibly peeved when she?
No, that's a different one.
That's not Nastia.
Michaela Maroney or something.
Yes.
Why do I know this?
What was her name?
Female gymnastics is the only sport you actually follow, Matty T, and for good reason.
They do the splits.
Well, Allie's got some great pictures online.
I have a question for you, ma'am. Can you do the splits? Doing the splits right now?
Would you like to be in a Bear Baby video? Also talked to Scott Tabor earlier this year. It was over the summer as well. I guess we were at a golf tournament at Chenal. We talked to him about Dave Van Horn. They were teammates at Arkansas. Scott was a pitcher, and Dave played the infield. And apparently, the Dave Van Horn you see today is exactly like the Dave Van Horn that played behind Scott defensively when they were at Arkansas together.
Good pitching is not striking everybody out. Good pitching is not walking people, making them hit the ball, and make plays behind them. And
yeah, that's the flip side of it. Your teammates don't get on you when you walk guys,
that's
right?
Well, no, yeah, they do. And Van Horn was the worst. Let me tell you, Van Horn was the worst.
Really?
Okay. Coming to the mound, and you're struggling a little bit. You walk two guys in a row and then plunked one in the head, and then he comes out from second base and looks at you in the eye and goes, "You still strikes."
So easy.
It's simple, right?
Yeah. You know what? I don't know why I didn't think about that.
Yeah, you know
what? It's a great idea.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, throw some ground balls. It's more democratic, they say.
I like the line drives to hit them right at them. That's the best pitch in baseball. It's the Adam ball.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Hit it at them.
Easy out.
Yes, sir.
Was he always intense off the field?
Real intense. Well, on the field, you know, I mean, he paced. I watched him in the third base when he was on third base, and he paced back and forth. But at second base, he would do that. He had his glove in one hand, looking down. He's kicking the dirt, talking to himself, and he's probably telling, you know, why don't you throw this and this and this and this? And I'm looking at him going, what are you thinking about? Man, he'll catch the ball, turn double play, or do whatever.
Did you ever suggest to him how to do his job?
I never did.
Okay.
I never did.
How many universities can say that their baseball coach is the most intimidating guy on campus? Because Dave Van Horn scares me to death, in a good way. I mean, I'm a big fan, but he's very intimidating to me. You ever run into him at Fayetteville?
No.
It's good.
I stay far away.
Yeah, he's scary to me.
Yeah, he is. He looks like he might not be the kind of guy you want to tell a bad joke to, you know.
He's Tuesday and Thursday at the speakeasy, at the Cigarette Case Speakeasy Club. That's when he hangs out. That's when he blows steam off.
At Ben's apartment?
Yeah.
Shh, we don't talk about that.
Oh, that's right.
It's a secret.
We had Joe Klein in here quite a bit this year. We talked about a number of things. Boy, we had so many good things. Joe hates flying, if you haven't heard. We talked to him about flying in a private jet. That was not so bad. Apparently, they had pretty good when he was in Portland.
I'm not a big fan of flying.
Yeah.
Never have been. Even when I was flying around in Paul Allen's, you know, Taj Mahal, when I was with the Blazers, I didn't like it that much.
Even though you had room to stretch out?
Oh, it was like taking your living room on the road with you. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous.
That's good. Did you have big screen TV too?
Yep.
That's nice.
And satellite.
If you think about what is up there, it will be up there.
Yeah,
if you want it there, it'll be in there.
He had a master bedroom.
For him or for anybody?
No, for him.
Okay.
Full shower.
Did he fly with you guys?
No. But one time, there was about... This is what you'll love. This is how my man Paul Allen rolled. He had two 757s.
Cause
one for him and one for the team.
Okay.
And we had to fly in his for a while because ours was getting something done to it.
They were attaching the wing.
Very
important.
But, I mean, you know, dude had it going on.
That's how you know you're rich. When you have to figure out which big jet you're going to be flying on in that particular...
757's in the shop getting a foot-shaped gas pedal installed, so we got to take the other one.
Matt, what's this Mohajer clip talking about Notre Dame? Remind me on this.
Is there somebody else with a similar name, maybe?
No, he's the only Terry Mohajer. talk to him about scheduling.
It had to be good if I put it in there.
Yeah, what a year. I mean, Terry Mulhauser has been on quite a roll lately. Goodness gracious. I mean, he's hired more head coaches than any other AD active in America.
Oh, I know. One of them, he was talking about building the brand. That was a good one.
Okay. Fine.
It's very simple. Brand.
Yeah.
They got one of the best brands in all of college football. And they actually are not on the AD advisory committee. They're actually on the commissioner advisory committee. So the AD sits along with the commissioners. So the AD from Notre Dame is actually on the commissioner advisory committee.
Okay, so.
And that's because, and the reason why it's with the commissioners is because they have the ability to negotiate their own TV deal.
Ah, yes.
So that's why they're with them. And I mean, it is. I mean, it's, the bottom line is they've built their brand. They deserve it. I mean, you know, we had a TV consultant come in and talk to us, and I was very poignant with him. I said, market value is what's more important, market value, households, or brand? Without question, brand.
Brand matters. Brand matters. And we
except for Russell Brand, I'm not a fan of that guy.
Not at all.
Russell Brand.
I
that's me, Russell Brand impression.
Spot on.
Right on.
Too masculine,
Let's
though.
Let's do some drugs.
What about Russell Crowe? How's that sound?
It's the same one. How does
it? It's hard to go from British
Maximus
to...
I vote Maximus. Are you not entertained?
Notre Dame is annoying.
Are you not?
Notre Dame annoys me because you know that Notre Dame, you realize they did not play in a BCS game this year, right? Mm-hmm. They played Rutgers in the Pinstripe Bowl. They got $1.8 million from the BCS this year. For not playing in a game. That's the kind of stroke that Notre Dame has. When they play in the game, they get $18 million or whatever.
They cut a wide swath.
When they don't play in it, they get 1 point. Here's a check just for being Notre Dame. You guys are awesome. You know what they're good at? Ask Terry Mulhauser.
Branding.
Exactly.
Branding, that's it.
Merrill Hodge was on. Merrill Hodge was a longtime NFL fullback. He played with a number of great players over the years, including Arkansas's own Barry Foster. University of Arkansas. It's not the state of. And we talked to him about some football stuff. I mean, there was a lot of things talked about. But really, I didn't care about any of that. I just wanted to talk to him about his attire. More specifically, his tie in his attire. Because the guy, he's the best.
I don't even think it's a double Windsor. Because I actually, listen, I had to, when I had to go to church when I was a young kid, I had to pass a sack when I had to wear a tie. I was showed how to tie the tie one time, and I don't even know what it's called. I'd have to actually go online and find out, you know, what certain tie knots are called. But I've constantly worked on evolving it because I used to first hate how it hung too long, my tie used to be too long, because I had this real cool belt buckle when I was a kid and I wanted everybody to see it. So I start shortening my tie, and that's kind of how the tie has become a little wider up top, is because I like my tie a little shorter because I like to wear, people see my belt buckle as well as my tie not hanging in my lap. So that's kind of how it started. That's how it's evolved. And I have ties that are kind of made to help me tie it that way and stay with that. And then I open my collar a little bit to absorb the size a little bit.
See, that's the kind of stuff you're not going to get on any other show.
No, Merrill Hodges tie game.
You may not want to get the from any other show, but anyway.
Sometimes it's not what you want, it's what you need.
Thanks to Christina, we got Nota Begay on a few times this year to talk about golf. He's with the Golf Channel now and does some work with NBC as they are co-owned. Ian Baker Finch also joined us. He's another golf analyst. I like to go back sometimes and see how close the predictions are. Like this year, I predicted 6 wins for Arkansas. Needless to say, it didn't go so well.
Fail.
I was off. By 50%, 100%, I guess it would be, technically. I wasn't good. Wasn't good. They needed to win 2 times more games.
Fail.
Yeah. Sorry about that. So, let's see what Ian Baker Finch knows. Do you remember who won the U.S. Open in golf? I don't either. I had to look it up. Justin Rose won the U.S. Open in golf 2 strokes ahead of Jason Day and Phil Mickelson. So, let's see if Ian Baker Finch, old IBF, old Finchy, if he knew anything going in. We asked him who he liked on a wet U.S. Open course.
I do see Tiger playing well. If you had to put $100 in your pocket, you put it on one player that if everyone was even money or everyone was whatever, you'd have to put it on Tiger. He has to be favorite.
Anyone else?
I like Matt Kuchar. I think he's played exceptionally well all year. I like Brant Snedeker because the greens here are testing and he's such a great putter. And I think Charles Schwartzel, who's been hitting the ball beautifully, if he can just... you know, come together on the greens just a little bit, I think it could be hard to beat.
Oops!
Hopefully he didn't bet 100 on each one of those guys.
No doubt. Well, he can afford it if anybody
Ian
can.
Baker Finch.
Barrett, I didn't know you were going to come in and do impressions. It makes it somewhat.
You are killing it with impressions.
That's my M. Baker Finch.
If you sang doing impressions, it would really add to your.
My name is M. Baker Finchy.
Is that an Oasis tune?
That's, yeah. Someday ye will find me company the landslide. In Baker Finch, I can't predict a ride. You want to hear the Russell Crowe song? Russell Crowe.
Oh, you not entertained.
Who else? Who, Prince Harry. Prince Harry. Who else is from?
Who else is from?
Just name somebody. I got them all.
I don't know that there's any.
It's a blanket impression.
It's pretty good. You nail everybody with
you're
that.
You're like Pat
you're
Bradley.
You're like Eliza Doolittle. Can you do her?
Eliza Doolittle.
Pat used to do impressions. That's what I'm most looking forward to is Pat coming back and doing impressions. I'd be like, hey, Pat, what does Russell Crowe sound like?
Hey, everybody, I'm Russell Crowe.
What about Michael Jordan?
Hey, everybody, I'm Michael Jordan. I'm an Allison basketball.
If Kermit the Frog ate him.
One of the great clips of the year. Unfortunately, did not. Oh, no, we'll get to that in a second. One of my favorite clips ever. We had not one, but two U.S. senators on the show at one time. We were interviewing former U.S. Senator and Governor David Pryor. Mark Pryor, the current U.S. Senator, called in during the show. That was awesome. One of our handful of shows from the Pryor Center for visual and
oral
and visual history. Thank you. It's funny how you only remember that part of it.
The most important There's one. Nothing like that archive in the United States. There's nothing even that resembles this. And so we're just honored to have that archive, and just we're going to protect it, we're going to preserve it, and just as importantly, we're going to share it. We're going to share it with all the people of our state and our country, and it's a wonderful half century of history of the state of Arkansas and its people and events, and it's just fabulous to have it, and we salute KATV for having the vision of saving it, and Randy was one of those who did this, along with Jim Pitcock mm-hmm. and the late Dale Nicholson and others, so this collection is a treasure.
No doubt about it, and that was not the clip where Mark called in, but he did, just take my word for it, and it was really good radio, and Randy Dixon also has done a great job. He's been very good about letting us come up, and was very gracious of Mr. Pryor to have us. The senator calling in was great, and he alluded to something, too, that very significant. Dale Nicholson's passing this year, guy who was one of the guys who did not veto my hiring at KATV, and I thank him for that. And
what a voice, man.
Oh, amazing. And he did.
Old school.
Yeah, he goes from studio announcer all the way up to president and general manager. So a great, great run and a very important figure in media history, certainly in Arkansas, one of the most important, certainly. 11:26, got to take a timeout. Before we do that, though, I want to play this one other clip. This had nothing to do with the zone, but it was one of my favorite clips of the year. We got some really good stuff from PTI this year. It's a great show. Mm-hmm. And I don't watch a lot of the show with, and I'm going to lose it on this one. What's
First Take?
No, I don't watch any of that.
Mm-hmm. The Sports
show,
Nation.
No, the show with Dan Le Batard.
Oh, Highly Questionable.
Thank you. Well, this year they had Steven Jackson on. Steven Jackson, of course, part of the Malice at the Palace and other things.
Former fan abuser.
He's the one that got the real lick in. If you watch that video, I mean, the dude threw the drink on Ron Artest, and Steven Jackson was already full throttle cocked back and just
off the top rope, man.
But smoked that fan.
And Steven Jackson's actually had a good career since then, but they had a fantastic moment. With him on this year, talking about that, among other things. And I love, again, when guys are totally honest, because it's so rare these days, everything's so calculated, it was so good. He was hilarious.
Said that Rod Artest never thanked you for what you did at the Palace. Why do you think he should have thanked you?
Because I don't think he was thinking at the time. Like, the funniest thing, me and Jamal Tinsley, every time I see him, we laugh at this. Right after the brawl, we're in the locker room. And this is why I say he never said thank you. We're in the locker room. So we're sitting there, legs all scratched up from hopping over the bleachers, our adrenaline pumped because we done laid a couple people out. We feeling like we did something, you know what I mean?
I've heard this.
We all sit back and Ron Artest, a.k.a. Metal World Peace, leans back and look at Jamal Tinsley and asks us, do you think we're going to get in trouble? I say, Ron, trouble? You lucky we still have a job. That was the funniest thing. That was the funniest thing ever. trouble. You're lucky we have a job, Ron. Crazy.
Well, hold on. Knowing that you're lucky you had a job, you went into the stands, way high up into the stands. What made you go
in
there?
You enjoyed that, Steven. You looked like you were enjoying that. Admit now that you were enjoying punching the customers.
Hey, well, let me say this. All of racial slurs I done heard, all the things I done heard about my mom and my basketball game and my kids and, and all this, it felt good to punch a fan one time. I'm not going to lie. I regret it. I ain't going to lie, I regret it because I lost $3 million behind and I almost lost my job. I regret it, but when I initially went in the stands, I went up there to help Ron. If you look at the tape, I go up to a row above Ron because I was trying to grab him. Well, as I got up there to grab him, another fan threw another beer in his face. I felt like he got assaulted at the time. So I felt like if you up here, you should be breaking up. But you throw a beer, you deserve a lick too. And he got it.
You only regret the punishment. You don't regret the action. You regret the reaction.
Right. The $3 million.
That's it.
That's all. That's all.
That's great.
I love it.
That is
love
fantastic.
It.
You think we're going to get in trouble?
That's so beautiful.
What a renaissance he's had, and also the Indiana Pacers from that incident.
No question.
Look, we're here 180 degrees away from that. He's had a great career. His highlights of his stuff was probably in San Antonio. But, you know, the Indianapolis is now the best team in the East, I mean, arguably. So, hey, no harm, no foul.
Champs until beaten, the Miami Heat.
That's right.
But I'm with you. If I was going to put money right now, probably would put it on the Pacers.
Yep, especially with LeBron's groin and things.
And things. Bear, we're going to have you play us into the break if you don't mind. Bear,
right.
Bear Baber here, and again, you can vote for him on Grammy Gig of a Lifetime, and we're going to let him, I'm assuming, get out of here after this. You can stay as long as you
want.
I'll
hang for a little bit, but I'll
You stay as long as you want. I don't want to take too much of your time. No long-term contracts with Cop Security, Barrett, and the good thing is not only do they handle business down here in Central Arkansas, they'll come all the way to Fayetteville and take care of your business as well, anywhere in the state. 501-315-9313, and you get enough commitments. You're trying to sign a contract with a record company, but not with your security company. And Cop Security requires no long-term contracts. It's $35 a month, $43 with full video. It's all cell-based, so you can actually do some things from your cell phone, including locking your doors, unlocking your doors, turning your security system on, turning it off. How about setting your thermostat? All from your app. Geo Services. So you can adjust the thermostat when you leave work. The thing's going to be all set up when you get home. It'll be nice and ready. It's pretty amazing. You can also keep an eye on things at your house via the phone app. You can watch people inside your home via a live video stream. It is amazing, the technology. So again, you can go $35 a month all the way up to $43 a month and get that installation from Cop Security. Protect your stuff, protect your people. James Ward's the owner. 501-315-9313. It's Cop Security. Bear, what you got for us?
Yeah, so I've been doing this thing. I'm posting some videos online, and if you'll follow me on Twitter or whatever, you'll see them too. But just to kind of ask for your vote, I'm not necessarily just going to ask for it. I've been singing for them too, and I'm covering a lot
Earn
of...
it.
Basically, I looked up a lot of Grammy-winning songs, and I'm just doing acoustic covers of those, so I'll do one of those now. And this is from a video I posted earlier. This is Bruno Mars.
Her eyes make the stars look like they are shining. Her hair falls perfectly without even trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day. As I know. She don't believe me. It's so, so sad to think that she don't see what I see. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day. When I see your face, it's not a thing that I would change. Girl, you're amazing. Just the way you are. When you smile, the whole world stops and stares for a while. Cause you're amazing. Just the